Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know Him and to make Him known. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping to make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
In your Bibles, we'll turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. You get any more clarity, you know, you never over-communicate. Next week, when we go to have a classic service, it'll be kind of classic Southside, more Southern Gospel, our choir, and some of the wondering. It's going to be out on the first service for some. No, it will not be. And once we get our sound hands, we have a ruler, we have a ruler in here. And so the sound bounces around quite a bit. We're on this part two of a series called Unstoppable. And there are a lot of people in our church. You know that we're a Southern Baptist church. And so for some of you, that's brand new. Maybe you're brand new to church. You're relatively come here. You can come every so often. And maybe that's new to you. Maybe you don't know what that means. And I'm going to give you a kind of a little more of a kind of a picture of what we're a part of. I mentioned last week, we're a part of something larger than ourselves. We are a part of the church, and we are a part of the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is any place where, any heart, where God is king, where Christ is king, is where the kingdom of God is at. And He works through His local church. He works through the local church. And we, as a Southern Baptist church, we are an independent church. There's no hierarchy. There's no one who says, okay, you can just switch as some churches that will rotate pastors every year, 3 years, 5 years, however they work that in some churches. We're an independent church. So we make our own decisions concerning so many different decisions because we are an independent church.
We choose to be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I'll give you a couple ideas of what we're a part of. We're a part of 48,000 churches. 48,000 churches. There's 3,500 IMB missionaries. What does that mean? International Mission Board is what that stands for. There's 3,500 missionaries outside of the North America that we're a part of, that we help support. There's 5,300 what they call NAM for short, but North American Mission Board that we're a part of. That goes for church planters, that goes for missionaries, that goes for special groups. 2017, there were 700 new churches. There was about 300 existing churches that were added to the SBC. And give you an idea as well, there are seminaries that the SBC supports. In fact, in 2017, there was a little over 22,000 seminary students graduated in 2017. And so we are part of something much larger. To give you an idea, when you count all the giving altogether, undesignated receipts given in the Southern Baptist churches collectively, it is about $9.5 billion. That's what we're a part of. As well, give you a little more of an idea. Lottie Moon, something we take up is a Christmas offering that we take up. Why do we do that? 100% of that goes to overseas missionaries. It goes to them. It's a gift for them. We're part of a little over $150 million being raised for that. Annie Armstrong during Easter, 100% of that goes to the North American missionaries. We're close to about $60 million that we were part of. There's also Global Hunger Relief, which is $3 million. And so there's relief efforts that the SBC is a part of. It's a wonderful, wonderful setup. And so you're wondering, for every dollar that you give, here at Southside Baptist Church, at the very least, 10%, 10 cents of that goes towards foreign missionaries and North American Mission Board and our local association. So that's what we give towards. That's kind of the church's, that's not counting what we do locally. Think about that. That's not counting what we do when we do outreaches and so on. This does not include that as far as what we give back as a church to the community. This is a generous church. Amen? It's been generous in the past. It is generous today. And so I want us to start off with Acts 1:8, kind of as a foundational verse here for us this morning. And I just want to remind us as a church that we are part of something greater than ourselves. We are part of something that is unstoppable. And Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now let's stop right there. What does this mean? Does this mean when, is this in reference to when someone gets saved? Is this in reference to something else? Is this something that's kind of special? It is something special. This is a prophecy right here of when the Holy Spirit is going to come. When did the Holy Spirit come? When did it empower the church? And empower the church, the next chapter in Acts chapter 2, when they were sitting in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came. It was fulfilled in Acts 2. And so the power, the church was empowered and the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. It says, come upon you. We as Christians, when we got saved, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Okay? We're indwelt by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is with us. He can be grieved. He can be hurt. He is also there to convict us of sin. He's there to comfort us as well. And today is the age of the Holy Spirit. It empowers the church. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. We don't. In fact, our small groups that we'll start promoting next week is a 7-week study called Forgotten God. And it's all about the Holy Spirit. We as a church do not depend as much as we should upon the Holy Spirit. You know, prophecy is not done concerning God the Father. Prophecy is not done concerning Jesus Christ. That's not done yet, according to Scripture. But today is the age of the Holy Spirit, who is God. Who is God? So we are indwelt by the Spirit. And there's different times of filling. Kind of like you getting into your car. You drive your car long enough, it's going to go on E. It's going to go on empty. You're going to need to refill. Christian, you need to refill. That's why it's important that you learn as a believer to also feed yourself during the week, to have a relationship with God, to have that time with the Lord. But notice this here. Has come upon you. It has come upon us. It is here. It's not coming. It is here. Amen? And so you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jerusalem is our own backyard. It is local. Judea, Samaria is about going further out, our state, our country, places that we should be looking at starting churches and helping other people start churches. To the end of the world. Those are unreached people groups that have never heard the name of Jesus. Amen? And so we've been given this great commission. We've been empowered by the Spirit to go. To go. And the SBC has been generous. And today I want to talk about generosity. I want to talk about being generous. Why should we continue to be generous? Why should we be generous as believers? That's what I want you to see. We need to be generous as Christians because God rewards generosity. He does. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, 38. It says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." You see, we're called to be generous. not greedy. God blesses generosity. He doesn't bless greed. He blesses generosity. In fact, I would say this, generosity is the antidote for greed, in fact. It is. Generosity is the antidote for greed. And so we are called to be givers. We're called to be generous. Now, I want you to notice something in this verse here. Sometimes people will quote this, especially sometimes in prosperity type churches, and they will focus only on money. But do you notice money even mentioned here? It's not. I think that's part of the equation, a part of what this verse is referring to, but it's not just that. It's just not that. We are called to be generous of our time. We're called to be generous as workers and servants of God. We're called to be generous with our resources, all right? I mean, we're called to be generous and just have an attitude of generosity. We should be generous in the way we show love and compassion to other people. And if you want many friends, be generous as a friend. Don't think just through the lens of when it comes to money or finances. It could mean that. It could mean that, but read it again. Give and you will receive. Be a good friend and you'll have friends. Your gift will return to you in full. We'll stop right there. Press down, shaken together to make room for more. You know, parents, taking that time, spending that time, investing that time into your children will come back, pressed down, shaken together, more room to be made. Some of you, maybe in your marriage, you're not real happy with your marriage. Maybe it's your fault, maybe it's not your fault, maybe it's both your fault, I don't know. What should you do? Give of yourself. You see, marriage is not 50-50, never has been. Never has been. Marriage is 100% on both sides, giving 100% into that marriage. You see, you can't always help. You can't change your spouse. You can't do it. Maybe you're coming to that conclusion. But what you can make sure you can do, and what God wants you to do, is make sure that you are the right kind of spouse, the right kind of father, the right kind of mother, the kind of church member that God calls us to be in His Word, the right kind of friend, the right kind of neighbor, the right kind of coworker that God is calling you to be. Because we've heard it before, what goes around comes around. That comes from the Bible. You reap what you sow. That's what it's talking about. You reap what you sow. And that's exactly what, kind of a different way that Luke 6 here is talking about. Give and you receive. Your gift will return to you, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And now I realize some of you may be thinking, I've been giving and giving and giving of myself. And maybe it's one of those friends that only calls you when they want something, right? I'm giving of myself. Maybe you need a different friend. Maybe you need to invest differently. Because if you were investing in something and you were losing money in it, you eventually would go, you know what? I may be no Warren Buffett, but this is not working out very well. I'm going to stop investing in that. It could be that way with your friends. It could be that you just need to make a decision to do something different in your marriage. Doing the same thing over and over again is what? The definition of insanity, isn't it? Make a change. You see, it could be that God blesses you concerning your health. It could be that you work at a job that you love. It could be that you have a wonderful marriage. God richly always gives back to those who give, one way or another. It could mean financial. It could mean that you make an investment, you feel led, and God makes you filthy rich. Amen. Tithe, all right? That's all I say to you about it. But think about even health. Let's say you were a millionaire and you're here this morning. You got $2 million in the bank. But something happens to your health, or it happens to the health of your wife, or the health of a grandkid or your child, and insurance won't cover it, and it's going to cost $1.5 million. How much really is money worth? Not that much. Health is priceless, isn't it? It is. God, He can bless you in so many different ways. Here's also what I want you to see about being generous, is God promises to provide for my needs. In Matthew 6, if you'll turn with me, Matthew 6, it said this, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you needed all these things. And notice what it says here next. Don't miss this part. Don't miss this part. Because while we are not perfect, and God knows that, He knows the worst about you, yet He loves you. He knows all your quirks, right? And yet He loves you. Even the ones that drive your wife crazy, right? Any quirks that drive your wife crazy? Not me. I'm perfect, right? I don't know if my wife's in here or not. But she, if not, shh, quiet, honey. And we all have those things, and yet He loves you. But if you don't think obedience is a part of this equation, then you're missing out on the truth of Scripture. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? God will provide for you. It's interesting, the average American home spends $1.26 for every dollar it earns. You see, when you and I demonstrate our faith by putting Him first and being generous, God promises to take care of our needs. He'll give us our wants. He doesn't promise the want part, but as a loving Heavenly Father, He does give us our wants. He does. Just as you love to give your kids gifts that maybe they didn't ask for, or even sometimes deserve, you give it to them because you love them. God does. He does the same thing. But here are these needs in which He promises to first seek the kingdom, to those who first seek the kingdom of God. One area that we are called to be generous, we've mentioned many already, but one is in our tithes and our offerings. Now, I've gone deeper into what tithes and offerings and what that means and so on. Tithe, the word tithe itself means a tenth. It is pre-law. Abraham went to Melchizedek and gave 10%. Joshua did the same thing. We see this biblical precedent set by our forefathers in the faith about this 10%. We see it also with Moses in the law as well. In fact, in the law, it goes even further because they also had a way of helping those who could not help themselves and providing. They had different other offerings as well in which they would give towards. And so they actually gave more than 10, but 10% was their tithe. It was. And so to sum this up, to simplify it, in Matthew 23 and also in the book of Luke, Jesus affirmed the tithe. With the Pharisees, if you remember the story of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were so concerned about tithing every little fruit that they had, every spice that they had. And Jesus said, "Yes, you should tithe, but God cares more about your heart." He wasn't saying don't tithe, but He's saying tithe, but God cares about your heart. He does. The Pharisees' heart were far from God. So tithe is 10%. Now some will say, well, is that gross? Is that net? I don't know. You figure that out. You take it up with God. I'm going to tell you. 10% is 10% though. Anything over my 10% is considered an offering. There's one area that we as Christians, we get a little uptight about, and maybe you're new here, and maybe like, man, I picked the perfect sermon to come to today to come check out this church. I preach on tithing maybe once or twice a year. Why? Because it's in the Bible. Why? Because we all need challenged in that area. And our church has stepped up and has given towards a building program, has given towards Fresh Vision, which is going to be ending here soon with that. But anything above our 10% is considered an offering. That's a free will. That's something we decide on our own to give towards. We see in the New Testament church that when you read through the New Testament and you see that, the early believers, they were giving more than just that. Why? Because they were supporting one another, helping one another. Many had lost their families. They were cast out of their families for making the decision to follow Jesus Christ. I mean, you talk about some heavy stuff. It was heavy stuff. Different time. But listen, someone make the argument, well, I don't think the 10% is for the church today. Read the New Testament and come back and come to the conclusion that you should give less. you won't come to that conclusion if you're honest with yourself. In fact, you'll come to the conclusion that at the very least, 10% of what God has called us to give at the bottom, at the basement. That's what he's called us to. That's what he's called us to. And so let me ask you this. And this is a convicting statement. Can you trust him with your soul, but not your salary? Think about that. Can you trust him with your soul, but not your salary? God promises to take care of you. You ever believe something and you hear other stories and testimonies of other people and God providing, but you never experience it yourself? And then when you experience it, it's a wonderful thing. In fact, it builds your faith. I remember a time in my life, probably about, I don't know, about 12 years ago, 15 years ago, my wife and I, we had no jobs. We were in transition and we had bills. I'm not bragging here. I'm bragging on Jesus, okay? So don't take this the wrong way. During that time, before that, from the first time I got a job, my parents taught me as a teenager and as a child to tithe. Even when things were tight, even when things got hard, I tithed. And my wife and I, we tithe here. We give. And we give, I'm just saying this because sometimes when preachers preach on this, maybe it can be felt that, well, I wonder if he gives. I'm just telling you, we just not only tithe, we give above that. Because I want to practice what I preach. Amen? It's easier, it's much easier to preach up here than to practice what I preach. Amen? I mean, it just is. And so, but I remember a time in our life where, my God, you're going to have to provide. You're going to have to come up big here, God, because I'm not sure what to do. And so 2 or 3 months had gone by without a job. And during those 2 to 3 months, I saw God provide. I saw him provide in ways I did not expect. I was not going around asking for, God provided for us in some ways that were unexpected, in some ways I didn't necessarily even like. I'll give you an example. You know, during that time, my grandfather passed away. And it was a very hard time for my wife and I. And during that time, and I was very close to my grandfather, I ended up getting, not a whole lot, but a little bit of life insurance money. And that got us through that time. Now, I didn't like that. I didn't like that setup, but God knew God has all those things orchestrated. What I know is this, is I am going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in him one way or, as they say, hell or high water, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to latch my wagon onto him, and I'm going to trust that he is going to take care and provide for me, and he'll provide for you the same way. And God provided me a job. He provided other different ways, and it built our faith. Like none other experience I could go through. And some of it goes deeper than that, but it was a scary time, but a wonderful time all at the same time. I've seen him bless. Here's the other one I want you to know. Why are we generous? Because God honors sacrifice over substance. Mark 12:42 says, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money, and many rich people put in large amounts. And then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Here's the one thing I really like about when it comes to giving, it comes to tithing. God does not call us to equal giving, but he does call us to equal sacrifice. He does. Tithing is equal for everyone. It's honest in that it doesn't belong to you. Everything you have is the Lord's. And God says, give me a tenth of that back. It's a trust issue. It's a trust of the heart. Here's the thing. It's blessed. There's only one place in Scripture, Malachi 3, if you're familiar with tithing, concerning Malachi 3, there's one place where God says, you can test me, you can try me, and it's the area of the tithes and the offerings. God said, I will open the windows of heaven, and I will bless you. I will bless you. And he does. And he always has. And so, here's the fourth one. Why we are generous. We never, ever will outgive God. 2 Corinthians 8 tells us, you know the generous grace that our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that his poverty could make you rich. God's riches sometimes include financial prosperity, but his riches always transcend material wealth. Here in Scripture, it's talking about riches in heaven, about laying your treasures up in heaven. Salvation in Christ, the power of the Spirit, the hope of glory, things that our superficial money can never afford. They can only be bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so we freely give to God because he freely gave to us. And when we give, we're saying, God, thank you for all that you've given me. And God, I trust you to meet my needs. And here at Southside, we believe that God rewards generosity. But we know that trusting God with a tenth of one's income, quite frankly, is scary. It's scary. For some of you, it's brand new. And so this is what I want to challenge you, church. I didn't come here just to preach on tithing here this morning. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. See, tithe means a tenth. Offering is anything we give above our 10%. Maybe you're here and you've been coming a while. You may, in fact, be a member here. And you're like, man, preacher, you don't understand where I'm at in my finances. You're right, I don't. And we do offer Financial Peace University, and we do try to help people get out of that web of debt that they've gotten themselves in. But if you think you're going to get out on your own without testing your faith, then you're very, very mistaken. So here's a challenge I have for you. Take that first step. You see, there's different folks here this morning. There's folks who are here this morning that you come, this is your church, and you don't give anything. There are some who give a little bit when the offering plate is passed around. Then there are some who give faithfully. They give 10%. There are some, there are people here as well that not only give 10%, but they give above that. They give beyond that. They give an offering. And that's where they're at. That's where they're at. And so we're all different places on this ladder of giving to God. A different level of generosity. So this is where I'm going to challenge you, church. For those who you've never made that step of giving, it's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Make a decision to give something. Maybe for you, right now, it's 1%. Maybe it's 1%. Maybe it's 2. Maybe it's a full 10. And you're making that decision. You're making that step to trust God in that area. For some of you, you're not really quite giving. Maybe you're giving a little bit. Why not take that next step up? Here's my challenge to you. For 90 days, I want you to make the decision to trust God. Make, for 90 days, to see if God can be trusted with your resources that in reality are just his. Everything you have, whether you realize it or not, are his. So this is what I'm asking. For 90 days, those who have not been getting anything, give 10% for 90 days and see what God does in your life. You get to the end of 90 days, I'm like, okay, I'm not seeing what God's doing here. Then you make your own decision there. But I believe God takes care of those who trust in him. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I believe that. I believe that. For those who have been giving some, you give a little bit here. Maybe you throw in a 20. I would appreciate that. A 10. But why not make the decision? I'm going to take the 90-day challenge. I'm going to take that step. For 90 days. I'm going to see how God does that for 90 days. For you, maybe you already give 10%, and that's wonderful. Have you considered giving an extra 1%? Maybe God is leading you to do that. Maybe it's 2%. Maybe, and there's plenty of people who give to our building fund and our Fresh Vision. You're like, hey, I'm tapped out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. And I understand that. And so, take that step. There in your bulletin, there's a connection card. If you open that up, you can tear this off, and it says in the bottom, I'm taking the step. I'm taking the step. Now listen, I'm not asking for names. I'm not asking for hands even. Not. But I want to challenge you, church. Take that step and trust in God. Take that step and support the church or the body that you are part of. You see, it's our responsibility as members to make sure our church is being taken care of. To take that step and have that faith. I can tell you from my own experience, when I wasn't a pastor, okay, that God takes care of you. And so in the ministry, out of the ministry, God takes care of you. Trust Him. Trust Him. Give it all to Him. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. You see, why teach on this? Why teach on this? Because listen, truthfully and honestly, to preach on tithing and being generous, it's not always the most comfortable message to preach, right? You get up here and look at some of y'all when you get talking about tithing, right? Oh man, he's preaching on tithing today, man. Honey, I know we should have stayed home, right? But you know, families have sometimes uncomfortable conversations because they love each other. And I love you. And so, it's part of what we're called to teach on, to preach on. You see, it's not because of what we want from you. It's because of what we want for you. You want to experience God? You want to experience the faith and trust in Him? That's a step you need to make. You see, giving generously and obediently is a spiritual discipline. And if you haven't crossed that line of faith, or maybe you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I know sometimes these sermons can come across as self-serving. And I want you to know today, if you're still investigating this whole Jesus thing, if you're still investigating whether you want to become a Christian or not, this message today was not for you. I'm glad you're here, but it was not for you. And in fact, don't hear me right. This is, you're not a member here of the church, you're just coming here. I'm not asking you to give today. Not asking you to give. I'm talking to those who faithfully come here this morning. You see, and I want to make sure you get me right. This isn't a bait and switch gospel that tricks you into free grace only to gouge you with a 10% surcharge. No, it's not the prosperity gospel that promises you if you give $10, you're going to get back $100. No, that's, if you hear a preacher do that, that's a false teacher. Stay away from that. It's not of the Lord. But this church passionately believes that God lays on our hearts to lay down our lives, to take up the cross, and to follow Jesus. God doesn't want your wallet. He wants your soul. He wants your heart. And God's financial plan for His church, for His bride, is for the gospel. For the gospel is through the tithes and offerings of the members. That's it. That's it. I know sometimes we do special things for certain special, you know, maybe there's something special going on. I'm not knocking that here this morning, but the answer for our church is not bake sales. It's not this fundraiser. No, no, no. God's system for His church, biblically, if we stick to the word, right? The Bible is the foundation of our faith and our practice. Make sure we get that. Our faith and our practice. In other words, the things that we do, we stick to the Word of God. It is through our tithes and our offerings, nothing else. It is. Nothing else.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website at southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great week.